Hi, I'm Krzysztof. I speak from Hungary and I'm a Coldplay fan.
Everybody and welcome to Code Talks, the Coldplay Fans podcast. Once more, another week of us Coldplay fans talking about the band. A very special week for us since tomorrow, March 18th, is the very beginning of finally the long-awaited Music of the Spheres World Tour. The tour begins in Costa Rica tomorrow, and if I have any Costa Rica fans here, I wish that you have a great day, because we know that a concert is usually a whole day experience, right? Like you spend your afternoon on the line, and then you have the opening acts, and then at the very night, usually like 9 p.m., you have the actual band. So I hope that you have all a very nice experience. And since now, I must say the next week, I will have some Costa Rica fans and some people who are not from Costa Rica that are going to send me audio clips of their experiences. So, of course, that exactly when it happens tomorrow at night in Costa Rica, we're going to have like live footage and set lists. We are going to know already of all those things. But at the same time, on next Thursday, we're going to have some people talking about it, more specifically about their feelings, about how this is actually feeling different or not from the last tour. So I'm very excited. I can't wait. So yeah, next week, March 24th, mark on your calendars that we're going to have a very special episode with fans, not only from Costa Rica, but mostly from Costa Rica that have attended to this first few concerts. And we're going to share with us other experiences. Moving on, today's episode is with Krzysztof, as you have seen on the title. He's a very well-known guy on the Coldplay community. He is the gentlest person ever. He's so calm when he speaks. I want that calm. I want to be like that. Krzysztof, if you're listening to that, I want to be you when I grow up. We talked a lot about live concerts, although Krzysztof has never been to a Coldplay concert. But we talked about how like live concerts and Coldplay means a very different band from what they are on studio. And this is actually not something bad. What I have to say now is, please, if you don't do this already, follow us in Twitter and Instagram. We are at CodeTalksPod, P-O-D. Follow us in the platform that you are listening. We are on Deezer, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Audible. What else? Amazon, we are everywhere. You can ask your Alexa to play Code Talks. And if you like the show and want to support us, please consider buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/CodeTalks. So that's it for today. Thank you very much. Since now, hope that you have a nice conversation right now. And if you're going to a concert from now on, well, I hope you have nice experiences, because tour will officially begin tomorrow and I can't wait. So let's go. Code Talks, Krzysztof, right now. Hello, Krzysztof. How are you? Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I'm fine. I'm fine as well. Krzysztof, it's so nice to have you here, because like I've been following you on Twitter and having like seen your tweets and seeing everything that you're talking about the band for a long time, and I connect so much to everything that you usually say about the band. So it's so nice to have you here, and I think the podcast exists for people to like exit the bubble of Twitter and to present like their faces and their voices to us, to like the other fans. So the first thing that I have to ask you is, how do you introduce yourself? How do you talk about yourself to other people, to the Coldplay fans community that only know your like your Twitter handle and those kind of things?
Oh, starting off with a great question already. First and foremost, besides being a Coldplay fan, Well, I'm a student currently, and I'm majoring in English and American studies. I also love to play the guitar. I've been playing for 12 years. Like, these are the most important things. And then, of course, there are like other things I love to do. This is the most important things. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. So we have the same major. Like, I'm a bit impressed.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's great.
I majored last year in English as well, English language and literature. So maybe in a second podcast, we can talk about that.
A literature episode. That's great.
Are you like a grammar person or a literature person?
Honestly, I prefer literature as well. I mean, I have no problem with grammar, but I don't know. I just love reading more. And yeah,
I'm more of that area as well. I don't know how things organize there in Hungary, but here in Brazil, like inside the university, you have these two like separate teams that usually like fight over each other in a very like simple way. But yeah. So that's nice. I'm also like more of a literature person than grammar. I love grammar as well, but as you said, like I prefer reading a book than reading like grammar, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. Yeah.
Perfect. So Christoph, how did you came to be a Coldplay fan? Like, I love to talk about English and I love to talk about literature, but that's a second topic. But how did you come to be a Coldplay fan? How did you first discover the band?
Well, I think the beginnings are a little bit blurry, but there were actually a couple of people who got me into Coldplay. The very first Coldplay memory I have is I think from 2007 or 2008, maybe.
Ooh.
When I on the TV, I saw the music video for Speed of Sound. And, I think that's when I first like, realized that, yeah. Wow, this is good. This is something. And then I knew someone who had Lost as their ringtone for quite some time. And I like met them like on a daily basis. And I heard that song quite regularly, so it was also interesting. So that's where my love for Viva La Vida comes from, the whole album and the air. That's where I got to know them.
That's all because of a ringtone. Like, we don't even use music as ringtones anymore.
Yeah.
Very good. And we usually start things off here as with a sort of profile. So I want to know from you, like, you talked about both X and Y and Viva La Vida now. So I guess those two albums, like, this is just a guessing, but I would say that just those two albums are very important to you. But what is your favorite Coldplay record?
I mean, for the longest time, it has been Viva. It's one of the albums that is closest to my heart, but my all-time favorite, I guess, is Milo Xyloto. And most recently, not even that, but Ghost Stories has been the one that I've been listening to the most. I guess the favorite is Milo.
Oh, they had like a great period of years because they're all sequence albums. Like, they were released in sequence.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a lucky fan between 2008 and 2014, 15. But
yeah.
Can you tell me why do you say like the Ghost Stories is the album that you're listening to the most? Is there a reason for that? Because it's something very common for people here, and I'm starting to see that it's something very common for the Coldplay fandom as well, to see Ghost Stories as a very unique kind of album, to see Ghost Stories as something very specific, like a very narrowed group of 9 songs. How do you see that? Because it's funny that you mentioned Ghost Stories, because last episode was an episode that we talked a lot about Ghost Stories as well. So is there a reason that you're listening to that? Because and it's not a new record, it's not a new album. So are you like sort of rediscovering ghost stories somehow? How is that album hitting you right now?
I guess I'm always constantly discovering new things. It's just never like you can never fully know an album. You always like hear new sounds or something. At least that's how it is for me. And most recently, I guess Ghost Stories has been hitting the closest. For personal reasons as well. And I don't know, just I don't know the sound of it as well. It's something special.
It feels like a story, you know, like Ghost Stories feels for me and for lots of people that have already been here. Ghost Stories feel like a very narrowed story from front to back. And
cohesive as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very nice album to listen as an album, you know, like usually it's very common for me to like, I don't know, if I want to listen to Politic, for example, I'm living my day, nothing is happening. And then they say, okay, I want to listen to Politic. It's very common that I like grab my cell phone, play that song on Spotify or something like that, and then just like leave my day and that's it. But when I have the same feeling with Ghost Stories, like even if I like Midnight is my favorite song from Ghost Stories. So sometimes I'm just like, oh, I want to listen to Midnight. And then when I realize I have listened to the whole album, like this happens a lot.
Same. Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of album that you just listen to in full.
Yeah.
Like you said, other albums have like songs that can be like played on their own. But I think Ghost Stories is something you can appreciate the songs by themselves and as a whole too.
Yeah. And like, this is not, I'm not throwing shade or something like that.
Yeah.
Other records, like this is my favorite band for God's sakes. Like, but at the same time, even on Viva, that is my favorite record as well. And I want to talk about Viva a little bit better because it's funny that it's quite rare to, at least on this podcast, to listen to the answer like Viva is my favorite. But at the same time, even with Viva, sometimes I can stick with like individual songs, but not with Ghost Stories. This is like impossible to happen. I don't know if that's because it's such like a short album, 9 songs, no interlude. So something very concise and very cohesive. But yeah, this is a phenomenon that I've noticed through the years.
I was just thinking about the interludes as well. So I think that was a very smart move from them to like kind of like make the flow the tracks into each other. So like there are no separate interludes, but the one track's end is the next track's beginning, like oceans and sky full of stars and things like that.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that because that I think if the album was like Milo Xylitol, we have the same group of songs, but the album was Milo Xylitol. Let's imagine that. I'm pretty sure that they would have taken that very end of Oceans into a new song. It would have like a different name. It would be a song, a track on the album.
Yeah.
But it was such a smart move to do that on Oceans, like just as a limbo inside of the record. Like you're not listening to Oceans anymore, but you're not listening to a Sky Full of Stars, but that's it. It's part of the song. It's like, it's a transition to another track that fits so well on the album. But at the same time, it's kind of nothing in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And I think that's just such a smart movement into Ghost Stories. And I've always noticed that. And I always have that feeling of limbo. Like, okay, this is Dead Space on the record, but it's the best Dead Space possible because I'm just like floating on synths and that's it.
And you're waiting for the piano to come in and then the song to start.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's something nice because I remember that A Sky Full of Stars released some weeks or a week before Ghost Stories, the actual album drops, but I didn't listen to it because I remember people, even before the song got released, people were talking about that a lot. People were talking about that song a lot. And I was like, okay, this is going to be something. This is going to be massive. I don't know how, but this is going to be massive. I want to listen to that in the album. So I didn't listen to that when it came out as a single. So like, I was not expecting that. I knew it was like EDM, dancey vibes and those kind of things, but I was not expecting that. So that period of time was like, okay, you have just listened to a like guitar and voice song that is Oceans. And now I'm setting things up for something that you know that you are not ready. So it felt like the album telling me like, get ready. You know what I'm talking like. That piece of music was kind of like the album telling me, okay, breathe, take a glass of water, slow down, because you're going to live something very different right now. So yeah, it's an experience. So, Christoph, I will probably not going to be the person who pronounces your name correctly. I'm sorry about that.
That's no need to worry. It's fine either way.
Yeah, but I want to talk about Viva a little bit. So, you said that you started like joining the band and joining the fandom and tracking their movements on 2008 and 9, right? So that was exactly the time where Viva got released. So how was that for you? Like, could you get the singles dropping and could you build a path to the album? Or when you got into the band, the album was already released because you talked about Lost. How was it?
Well, I wish I could say that I started following them like closely that early, but that came a lot later. So I just started becoming familiar with their music back then. I knew a few songs. Like back then there was no Spotify or anything, so anything I could just find online on YouTube or stuff like that. But it started a lot later that I was closely following them on like social media and stuff. Before that it was really just like, especially 2008, that was the only time they've ever played a concert here in Budapest. And I didn't even know about it until years later. So, yeah.
How old were you back then?
Back then, I was maybe 9 or 10 when they were here. So, yeah, it wasn't really a chance for me to go and see them.
Yeah, it's something nice because like nowadays I think it's getting more and more common to have like very young people in Coldplay concerts.
Yeah,
like we had Patrick some months ago.
Exactly.
And but even if you watch like A Head Full of Dreams DVD, like live in São Paulo, you can see like kids with special headphones to block the sound, but they're there with their xylo bands and these kind of things. But back then it was almost impossible. It was almost like, it was not an option if you were like 10 to go to a concert, like at all.
Yeah. I don't think my parents would have let me or taken me there. So
yeah. But, so yeah, you said it, like you had the album by itself. You didn't get to track the singles and those kind of things. But can you remember like what was your experience? What were you feeling? Because, for example, in my case, the first album that I've listened to, like not only by Coldplay but like in my entire life, was A Rush of Blood to the Head. It was the first time that I like grabbed a CD back then. And then I put it on a player and listen from beginning to end, like taking a look at the booklet and those kind of things. So can you remember, like, and you said that back then you didn't have Spotify. So I'm pretty sure you got something physical to play Viva La Vida or Death Know His Friends for the first time. Am I correct?
Well, not quite. I was, I remember it was just on my smartphone. There was like an MP3 app, and I was searching up Coldplay and just checking what songs there were there. It was really like just to download some songs and have them on my phone.
Okay.
It was like that.
But can you recall in your mind, like, what was the feeling to listen to Viva La Vida for the first time, like the album? Because usually that's a very life-changing or something like that experience, right? To listen to the album from front to back for the first time. So how was that for you? Like, what was your first impression of that group of songs together?
Well, yeah, like you say, it's really also a special album. Well, you can kind of say that to all of them. But like even without, the Prospects March EP, it's just 10 songs, but they are all like stand well on their own. And just like from the beginning, like just as Life in Technicolor starts with that like little piece from John Hopkins, it's you already know that something is about to go down
I remember that some people back then, like when the EP Prospects March got out, when they listened to, because on the record on Viva La Vida we got only like an introduction to Life in Technicolor. So I don't know the story behind that. I don't know even if there is a story behind that, but when they released the complete song Life in Technicolor 2, right, people got massively like angry, like, why is this not on the album? And I remember that was massive. Like, why? Just tell me why.
Yeah. Especially since, you know, there was the music video for it. Yeah. And I think one of the earliest like concert footage I saw was them, you know, just going out to the stage. One of the earlier Viva Tour shows, they just performed Life in Technicolor. That was, you know, they go out with the sparklers, or maybe I'm remembering wrong, but I think that was that.
Well, if you're remembering wrong, I am as well, because that's exactly what I remember from that as well. And I remember some friends that have been to the Viva Tour and said something like that, but I wasn't able, like, I started like tracking the band right when Christmas Lights got released. So right after Viva era. So unfortunately, because I would do unimaginable things to go to a Viva concert, but that's, well, what can I do? But I remember some friends like watching like the set list from the Viva era, like in the very end of the tour, where they already had like the Prospect March EP, where they play like Glass of Water, Rainy Day, and those kind of things. That was just, that was just amazing. Like, I don't want to be like the guy that says, ooh, but Coldplay from 2008 was the best Coldplay ever, and now they're just doing rubbish. No, I'm not that guy. But at the same time, like, I would do unimaginable things to attend a Viva era concert. And even specifically here in Brazil, because they made a concert, I think, on São Paulo that was on March 2nd, as known as Chris Martin's birthday. So it was a very specific day to have a Coldplay concert. I would have, I wanted so much to do that. But since we're talking about live events, I want to know from you, what is your Coldplay story with live events? Like, have you ever attended to a Coldplay concert? How was that? Tell me everything.
Well, my story on that front is quite short, since I've never been to
live event yet.
Yet. But I am like a few days from the beginning of the tour, I can tell you that I'm at least, as things are right now, I'm going to see them in Wembley in August. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I can imagine, right? Especially on Wembley, that is such like a classic venue to Coldplay, right? And they're making like, what, 5 concerts there? Something like that?
I think, yeah, at least 5.
Yeah, and there's so many. Like, I don't even remember how many are we going to have there. So are you going to see other Coldplay fans there as well? Or you're just...
Yeah. I'm going to spend there 6 days. And it will be just, you know, discovering the city, hanging out with other Coldplayers.
Wow.
So it won't be for just a concert.
Yeah.
I really can't wait.
Yeah. When is it? Sorry. What is the date for that?
Well, my concert is on the 16th. And so I'm going there on the 13th and staying until the 18th.
Oh, got it.
So, yeah.
Got it. But is it March? No, it's not. No, it's not March.
August.
Right. Yeah. March is the beginning of the tour, right?
Yeah.
Because it's March 18th. You talked about the 18th. I was like, oh, okay.
So oh, no.
Maybe I'm confusing things, but yeah. We are just a few days for the beginning of the tour. It literally starts this Friday. In the day that this episode got released, the tour are going to begin on the following day. This comes out on a Thursday. The tour begins on the Friday. So we're going to be very close to the tour. And I want to know from you, like, what are your expectations for this tour? What are you expecting to see? Even though, like, in your case, even more, because it's the first time that you see a Coldplay concert. So how is that working for you?
You know, I have been looking at things, especially regarding how it's going to look in Costa Rica. So I've seen some fan photos of how the stage is going to look like, the lights, even the, like, you know, the disco ball.
Yes.
So that's that was a big surprise for me to see. You know, there have been the talks about how the wristbands are going to be different, maybe, or maybe they stick with the same ones. I don't really have any, like, expectations. Honestly, since this is my first time, I'm just gonna be blown away by everything. So it's yeah.
Just want to see the band, right? And that.
Yeah, everything else is just a bonus.
Yeah, right. But when talking about, like, set list, because this is something that I think everyone has a specific perspective, but that's not the word I wanted. Like, we want to see specific songs. That's it. Mm-hmm. Each and everyone. Even, like, some weeks ago, we had something on Twitter happening made by Coldplay Extra, where you could, like, set and create your own set list. Did you do that? Because I was 100% incapable of doing that. Could you do that?
Yeah. So I've been looking at a lot of different set lists, and I just couldn't just sit down and make one, because, like, there are so many options, so many songs that I want to hear that they might play, but there are also songs that I really want to hear that they definitely not gonna play. So yeah, it's just impossible to, like, create one like probable set list. Like, yeah, I could create one dream set list, and I know it's not gonna happen, but but there were some so many great suggestions, like, especially people suggesting from the Kaleidoscope EP. I really, really hope that they're gonna play songs from them, because it came out during the Headphone Dream Tour, and so they didn't play songs throughout the whole tour, just the second part, I think.
They sprinkled that throughout the tour. Like, I remember once, I think in Japan, that they played All I Can Think About Is You.
I think Miracle, Someone Special, they only played it once, I think, also.
Played it once in a B stage. Chris played Hypnotized in a very fast way, like, on it was a request song, so Chris played it, like, in a B stage or C stage or something like that. But for example, Aliens was never played.
Yeah, there's Aliens that I really want them to hear, but maybe we don't get to hear it.
Yeah, I think that Aliens is going to be in our dream set list, not in the real one. But I mean, they have the perfect background to play it. Come on.
Yeah. Like, it's just a setting that it's made for the tour. That song just fits perfectly.
Isn't it? I'm just like, I don't know how they're going to see and how they're going to deal with that being like an outer space tour or something like that. Because, but if they take that into consideration to the set list, they have a ton of songs.
So many options, yeah.
They have a ton of songs, even from older albums like X and Y. They can play,
yeah.
They can play literally anything from X and Y.
Yeah, the whole album, or like Moving to Mars. Yeah, just countless options.
Oh, wow, Moving to Mars. Wow, okay. I was not ready to talk about Moving to Mars, but yeah, that's also like I was talking to a friend yesterday about that, and we were talking exactly like they have the perfect context to play Moving to Mars. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this friend of mine, she said something very interesting that maybe that's not a time to play Moving to Mars because there is no Mars in the spheres.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
So yeah, I never thought about that. So I don't know, maybe they can change Mars to like, no, Moving to Flores or something like that. But I would do, again, unimaginable things to see this song live. I don't know. This friend of mine, they talked about that. She's not even like the biggest fan of Coldplay anymore. She is not very into like the newest things that the band is releasing. And well, what can I do? That's her option. But she said something very nice. She said like when the topic is Coldplay live, even the songs that she doesn't like that much anymore, she's 100% into it. So, I mean, and that's the phenomenon. That's something that happens everywhere. Like, even if they play like Ode to the Utterance on 2022, it's going to make sense. And I think it's just such a nice point to be a Coldplay fan that it's just like, you can, even if you don't like Coldplay, yeah, like it doesn't matter. The concert, it's something else. The concert is something unique by itself.
Definitely.
This is something that is just mind-blowing about this band.
Yeah. And like, even when it's like something like, you know, one of the iHeart concerts, when it's not just Coldplay playing,
yeah,
the audience always seems to be, you know, like engaged and they are like not booing them off the stage. So like when they're there to see another artist, they still like enjoy it,
yeah,
just as much.
And Coldplay is in a point in their career where they have songs that, again, even if you hate it, you can sing it. Or like, you know, the riff for Clocks, for example. Maybe you don't know it, but you know that the piano, you know the piano line, for example. You know the piano riff so that you can enjoy it, even if you don't like the band or the song. So I think that's something that that created this thing that even people who don't know the band very well are 100% keen to go to a Coldplay concert. And when this friend of mine told, because I remember I talked to her a lot and we talked a lot about Music of the Spheres, for example, when it came out, and she didn't like the album at all. She just liked the Coloratura and another song that I won't remember which one it is. So I was very surprised when she said, like, I want to go to their concert. I was like, what? You hated Music of the Spheres and you want to go to the tour? And she said, yeah, because it's totally different. Like, it's a concert. It's not the record. So
yeah. I mean, it might even change her mind about the songs that
exactly,
she might not like.
Exactly. I remember, like, I've been to Have a Dreams tour, and I was and still am not a big fan of the album. Like, it's not my favorite Coldplay record for sure. But I remember like the song A Handful of Dreams, the opener of everything. I remember that I didn't quite like it. Like, it was a great song, but that was it for me. But nowadays, like when I think about this song, I can transportate myself like immediately to the tour and to the opening of the tour, like everything going red with the Xylo Benz and the Charlie Chaplin speech. And I'm just there just for playing the song. So it's not about even liking it or not anymore. It's just because that piece of music, like that 4 minutes, has the capacity of when I'm close my eyes, I'm there. You know, I'm not here anymore. So, yeah, this is something like we can change our minds very easily, because then it's not just a song, it's an event. You know, like
now that you mentioned Head Full of Dreams, the song, like immediately what comes to my mind is that bit from the documentary when, like, how it goes from them playing it in the studio, how it's, you know, like when the chant starts and how the audience joins in. That's always just instant goosebumps.
I saw a Twitter account or a tweet this day saying something like, I think Music of the Spheres was just an excuse for Coldplay to make a tour. And I have that feeling, the exact same feeling with A Handful of Dreams. Like, they created a record, but the point was not a record. The point was the tour. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the thing that's happening now. And some people may think that this is not a good thing. I don't know. But for me, like, in my opinion, being honest, that's the best excuse ever.
Yeah. Like, I mean, for Coldplay, it's I think, equally important to make new music and then to play that music live. That's just as crucial to them being a band.
Yeah. Because as we talk, like, it's a totally different band live. Not saying that the records are not good or no, that's not the point, but it's different. It's an experience that's so well thought to be in that sequence, to have that specific lighting, to have that specific visuals, and to have that specific silo band colors. I don't know, but so it's so well thought that it's not a song anymore, just a song anymore. Like, you have the songs that are, like, for example, Everglow. I was not a big fan of Everglow. But when Chris played that, like, alone in the piano.
Yeah, Glastonbury 2016.
Or Glastonbury, for example. When Chris played that song, I was just, like, bursting in tears. And I was like, I remember thinking about that, like, this is not even a song that I like that much. Why am I crying so hard? Like, why is this so emotional?
Same. There was something about that version of the song. And to think that it all became a thing because of a detuned piano, or like because they couldn't play together.
Exactly. And I remember when it got out, like that version where it's just Chris and piano. And then in the end you have Johnny and the guitar. And then I remember when that came out and I was like, really? That's the single? Because that came out as a single version.
Yeah, the single version. Yeah.
So I was like, that's the single? Like, they have a whole band playing this and that's the single. But when I saw that live, God, that was so beautiful. That was just so beautiful. And it clicks in the end. It makes sense when you see that being performed live. I mean, another thing that when I saw in the beginning of the tour that they were playing that remix version of Paradise in the end of the actual song, I was not happy as well. I thought it was not a good choice. But when I saw that live, oh God. Like, that was just so amazing because they actually play it. It's a remix version, but the band plays it.
They are just there jamming out on the guitars. That's just, I love that moment.
Yeah. It feels like you're watching a Coldplay rehearsal or something like that. Like,
exactly. You're just
four guys, a backing track, and that's it. And they're just hallucinating. They're just crazy. And you were there as well. Because, like, the lighting is so crazy and it's everything is so intense that even though I didn't have, like, the best background story with that remix, it was just irresistible. I was just not able to pretend that I didn't like it anymore. And I would never forget the shift in opinions that was the A Handful of Dreams tour for me. And I'm pretty sure that this tour is going to be the same thing as well, because we had an album that was kind of divisive among fans that is music of the spirit. Like, and I want to ask you, actually, what is your opinion about music of the spirit? Did you like it? How did the album hit you?
Well, this is like kind of the second album that I have followed from the beginning, or even like before the beginning. So like the whole announcement, like how it was with the posters, with Everyday Life, and now with the, you know, Higher Power, leading up to Higher Power announcement. So it was the excitement started, like, you know, the album came out in October, but we already got hyped about it back in what was it, April, I think.
But yeah, it's the song got released on March 7th, I guess, or 11th. It was the very beginning of March. Wait,
no, I think Higher Power was in May 7th.
May, not March. Yeah. What am I saying? I'm crazy.
Yeah, I only remember because it's on the day of one of my friend's birthday, and a few days after my birthday as well. So yeah.
Oh, so you got like a Coldplay birthday present. Yeah,
yeah, that was great.
Yeah, my birthday is on April 26th. So I was kind of on the same thing. That's why I remember it was May as well. But as you were saying, like, we were hyped on that. It was a very long time before the song actually came out that we have the first contact with the alien languages and people trying to solve the puzzles, which we solved very quickly, I must say.
I think they expected us to just take a little bit more time with it. And
yeah,
we were too quick.
Yeah. And I remember that was my first contact with the Coldplay Twitter, actually. Like, I used to follow like Coldplay Extra and Coldplaying, like those major fan clubs. But that was the time that I started following like random people just to see what people were saying about the Higher Power puzzle and alien languages thing. So I remember that was a time that I was checking Twitter like 24/7. Not proud of that. Don't do that, guys. Don't do that. But I remember that was a time where I started meeting people. That was a time that I met Haley. That was a time that I met lots of people on Coldplay Twitter. That later, that was a time that I met Brooke. People who in the end got to be here, like where I got to talk and know like face to face. So I get that period of time, like the beginning of Higher Power, which is going to be a year next month.
Wow.
This is so surreal. Next month, it's going to be a whole year where we first started to track those things on Higher Power. That's wow. Okay. But yeah, I mean, so I have that period of time in my life as a very special one. But sorry, this is 100% off topic. We were talking about the album. So yeah, what is your opinion about it? Did you like it? Did you not? How do you feel that?
Yeah, honestly, I like the album. Well, from the very first moment, like when you know, Overture came out, were like obviously songs that I was very excited to hear, like Humankind and My Universe and Coloratura, and there was the mysterious infinity sign that we didn't quite know where to put. There was like after a few listens, I already memorized how the whole thing is, I was just so excited to hear them. I remember when after midnight when I first started to listen to the album and
got it.
You know, like the first like technically two songs, like Higher Power and like the intro, you already know that. So the first song that is brand new and you're going to hear for the first time, that's Humankind, and I was just sitting there and thinking about how maybe one day I'm going to experience this song live, and I don't know, I just burst down into tears. It was just, yes. I don't know, It was such a moment.
Yeah. I remember when I was talking to a friend, the same context of you, like midnight. I was talking to a friend that wasn't able to listen to the album like at midnight. And I was like, I'm not going to spoil your experience. I'm not going to say anything, but I need to say something. Like, and then I just sent like a very long message with the word humankind, like repeatedly in caps lock, like 1,000 times, like just that. I just need to say that because I had this exact same reaction. Like, this live is going to be massive, massive. And I'm so hyped for the tour exactly because of this song, because the band say that this is a song that they wanted to play live.
Yeah.
And it's nice because, for example, the song, the first thing that we're listening to the song is basically Will's drums. And there is something in the way they mixed that it sounds live. It doesn't sound like it was recorded in a studio. It sounds like it was a live drum set. Yeah. And I think that was the point. Oh, it's giving me goosebumps to talk about that because it's, I don't know how they did that. Max Martin, you are a genius.
Yeah.
But it sounds like I'm listening to a song that was not recorded in a studio. It sounds like I'm listening. And people are now, I remember seeing a video on Twitter where they put the I Have Full of Dreams music video.
Yeah. I saw that.
Into Humankind. And I was like, that's it. That's it. That's perfect. So yeah, Humankind. I was talking to some friends on Twitter as well about like maybe a music video or something like that. And in my head, this song has a very clear music video where they're playing this song live, but like at the Spheres, but with actual touring footage. So I don't know. But the point is, this album is an album to be played live. Infinity Sign, oh my God. I have a feeling that they're not going to play Infinity Sign because, well, it doesn't even have lyrics, but I really want to see this song live.
I mean, even if it's just like, you know, a stage transition song,
yeah,
the audience can just sing along with it. And I think that the atmosphere that it would create, that's just, yeah, I really want to hear it live as well. Yeah.
And of course, we have Coloratura that when it got released, I was afraid that they were not going to play it live because, well, it's a 10-minute song. It's very difficult to play it live. But there wasn't a single concert since the very beginning where they didn't play it. So now I'm truly thinking that they're going to end the tour with that. And I mean, if I almost like lose my mind with Up and Up, I can't even think what is going to be my reaction to listen to Coloratura live. God, it's going to be so surreal. But well, moving on to the very end of our conversation now. Is there anything else that you want to say? Is there anything else that you want to tell people? Maybe that's the first time that lots of fans that you interact every day on Twitter listen to your voice. And that's a very strange thing.
That's a bit scary. I'm not going to lie. It's just,
isn't it?
Like, there were like a few like, you know, spaces when I guess there were like a couple of people there and Zoom calls as well, but who knows how many people are going to listen to this. Everyone, this is me.
This is a very strange feeling. I still have to handle. I'm here every single episode, but I'm still need to handle that. I don't know, it sounds strange because we interact so much. Like, I can't even remember how many tweets of you I have already seen, for example. But it's the first time we are chatting. You cannot even see me because my webcam is not working. I'm very sad about that. But this is the thing. Like, this podcast exists exactly for that, because we are such a united community and such a strong group of people. And sometimes we don't even know our voices. So, yeah, Crystal, thank you very much for being here, for taking a bit of your day and taking a bit of your time to talk about your favorite band with me and with everyone that is listening. I guess that was it. Thank you very much for joining.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh. It's been an honor to be here after so many other people and get to share at least some of my story as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've been listening to them and yeah, it's just really amazing to get to hear other people.
Yeah. So Christoph, thank you very much for joining. I hope that you have a nice day and a nice week. We're recording that on a Monday, so we have the whole week in front of us. So I hope that you have a nice week. Thank you very much for joining. See you in the future sometime. Who knows?
Yeah. Thank you so much again for having me and for everybody listening. Since tomorrow is the tour day, hope you enjoyed the tour as well. And everybody take care. Yeah.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Code Talks. This podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Rodrigo Saminis. I also made the soundtrack of the show, which is original since season 2. Graphic design is made by Luiz Eduardo Pinheiro. I ask you please to rate the podcast and follow us in the platform that you're listening to. It helps us a lot. Also, if you like Code Talks and want to support the show, please consider buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/CodeTalksPod to donate whatever you want. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CodeTalksPod, P-O-D. Thank you very much and see you next week.